I have a riddle for you.
Oh, great.
How much snow should a snow park make if a snow park could make snow?
I'll ask a woodchuck. Now, I have a question for you.
Oh.
What would you do if you could travel back in time?
I would sing a Huey Lewis song about it.
Oh, well, one Florida man has the wrong answer.
Oh, all right. Well, I think my answer was pretty wrong, too.
Okay.
Hey, so where's the most romantic place to get married?
In my sweetie's arms.
Oh, aren't you adorable?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a pretty romantic place to tell you about, and it's not what you think.
Okay, all that and more coming up on this week's episode of the Florida Freak Show.
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Ladies and gents, boys and girls, step right up for the Florida Freak Show!
Welcome back to the Florida Freak Show. I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell.
And if you've ever read a Florida news story online or seen a Sunshine State newscast, you know that Florida's greatest export are weird stories about the people who live and play here. And we have a few of those stories, don't we, Kirsten?
As always, ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines.
But before we get to those stories,
all right,
let me say one more thing.
Okay.
There's still time to cast your votes for the freakiest Florida news stories of 2020.
Let's vote, people. You do that by visiting our Facebook page at facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. We're posting the strangest stories for every month this year, and we need your votes to help us pick the freakiest for our year-end show.
Excellent. And now, on to the headlines.
On to the headlines.
Remember a few weeks ago when we talked about Snowcat Ridge, the snow park that was opening up in the Tampa area?
Yeah.
So we have a follow-up.
Oh, I love a follow-up.
Follow-up coming from Spectrum News 13. Florida's new snow park, Snowcat Ridge, opened to the public on Friday, November 20th, and by the weekend had already realized they'd made a huge mistake.
A huge mistake.
With a high of 82 and a low of 59 that day, the Dade City Snow Park faced what they call a snow volume issue.
Oh.
The very weekend the park opened, it announced that it would be adjusting its hours because it, quote, misestimated the amount of snow it needed.
Uh-huh.
The park features an indoor play area called the Arctic Igloo, where visitors can build snowmen and have snowball fights, make snow angels, and it had to close to visitors on the very first Saturday because of snow production issues. The igloo, by the way, reopened, but not until Sunday evening.
Oh.
The park credits overwhelming interest for, you know, Snowcat Ridge uh-huh. as the issue. And it says it'll be using the extra hours when it's closed to focus its efforts on ensuring there's enough snow for every guest to play in.
Ah.
By the way, the rest of the park remained open through the issue.
Well, this story should come with a meme from Arrested Development. I've made a huge mistake.
I've made a huge mistake.
There are two things in this world that are destined to fail. A new formula for Coca-Cola and a snow park in Florida.
Right?
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I will say, though, kudos to the PR team.
Yeah.
Being a public relations professional myself, I can
sure.
appreciate a job well done.
It's tough when you've got to put out a big fire like this.
Framing this as a, oh my God, we were so popular that we ran out of snow
yeah.
is much better than, oops, we forgot to carry the one when we were calculating how much snow we needed.
Oh, math.
Plus, they made up a word.
You can't beat that.
They didn't underestimate the amount of snow they needed.
No, that would
they
make too much sense.
They just misestimated it,
yeah. You know what's really sad? All the interest that it drummed up with so many Floridians who have never seen snow, it's like a water park in the Sahara. People are going to flock to it if it works.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I will say since moving to Florida and even a little bit when we lived in Georgia, I am fascinated by the people who grew up in the South and have never seen snow and are obsessed with it.
That's one of the really cool things about living down here is and meeting people that have lived here all the time, you know, their entire lives. They're fascinated by snow, and it's like so cool to see them like see it for the first time.
But for us, it's like, bull, snow.
No.
Ugh.
I'm good.
We moved away from that.
I'm good. I don't need to do that.
But it is funny because we'll meet people, and I'm not talking about little kids who have seen it on TV and
sure.
are like, oh, it's so pretty. I'm going to build a snowman.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 40-year-old adults
mm-hmm.
who are really excited to see snow for the first time. And all I want to say is, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And God knows, I grew up with it. I used to be a ski patroller,
that's
for
right.
God's sake.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with snow.
No.
I don't want to shovel it. I don't want to drive in it. I don't want to scrape it.
Yeah.
Snow, like many things in life, is very romantic and beautiful until you have to deal with it on a daily basis.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you
more.
It's
like marrying a supermodel.
Yeah. I miss seasons, but I don't miss that season. I don't miss snow season so much.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope that they can make this work, because if this problem is happening in the wintertime in Florida, I hate to see what happens if it comes close to summer.
Well, yeah, I don't. I think they plan on only being open through May, but
understood.
Still, it gets pretty hot here in May.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you know, here's I'm trying to be a more positive person, right?
Oh.
Thankfully, the mathematicians that are in charge of the Snowcat Ridge snow calculations, you know, got a job at Snowcat Ridge and maybe didn't apply for a job at like NASA or SpaceX because, you know, oops, we forgot to carry a one.
Yeah.
And now we don't have enough snow for a day is much better than, oops, we forgot to carry a one and the rocket missed the space station and now there's two astronauts floating out in space forever and ever.
Yeah, yeah. It's math. Being wrong at math is a bad thing in pretty much every situation, but definitely worse.
As I've demonstrated on this podcast
space
multiple
exploration.
Times.
Yes.
All right, moving on to our second story. This one from the Tampa Bay Times.
All right.
Clearwater resident Bradley Despain is a Back to the Future super fan.
Who isn't?
He wasn't even born when the movie came out, but he can still recite the movie from start to finish. So I guess it's probably not surprising that the 36-year-old bought a DeLorean last year for $20,000.
Wow.
What makes a little less sense is that he and his friend Joe Benson have converted the stainless steel automobile into a near exact replica of Doc Brown's time machine.
Oh.
Despain spent thousands of dollars just getting the car into working condition because, let's face it, it's not easy to find DeLorean parts.
It's not.
And then the pair has spent thousands more turning it into a replica of the time machine.
Yeah, right.
The two men ordered some parts online, fabricated some parts using the same materials used by the filmmakers. All he's missing is the ceiling console and, of course, the ability to travel back in time.
Oh, that's an important one.
In fact, the car can barely reach 88 miles an hour, so time travel is probably out of the question. However, he does have the date picked out if he did get the chance to go back in time. 6:30 a.m. on August 29th, 1984, which is when he was born.
Oh.
He says he would love to run into the hospital room and tell his mom to push harder.
Oh, God. That's a little odd. Well, the two things that you must have for time travel, according to Doc Brown.
Of course.
The flux capacitor with its 1.21 gigawatts. And a car that reaches 88 miles per hour. This DeLorean that this guy built, I don't think it's making it back in time anytime soon.
Yeah, the article actually said that, you know, after he got it back up to road condition,
sure.
He took it out on I-75
yeah.
and, you know, got it up to 88 miles an hour. But he said he was afraid that the thing would fall apart.
A whole lot of shaking going on.
Oh, I bet.
No, so I have to ask, if you could go anywhere in time, where would you want to go?
Oh, my God. History has not been particularly kind to women.
Mm.
So I would say there aren't a whole lot of eras that really I would feel very
that speak
comfortable
to you?
That
right.
speak to me.
Yeah.
Perhaps maybe living in the time of Peter Paul Rubens when he painted his chubby ladies,
yes.
because I wouldn't have to worry about cellulite and I could eat whatever I wanted
sure.
and still be ravishing.
Right.
But honestly, like, unless I can be Catherine the Great or Cleopatra, I'm not sure that I really want to go back in time. And
I understand that.
You know, as a woman.
I hear you.
What about you?
Well, I was thinking about this, and I feel like it probably would be like London in the swinging 60s.
Oh.
I have no idea why. It just, like the Austin Powers movies.
I was about to say.
Make it look so much fun. The music was great. The parties look really great.
See the rise of the Beatles.
Right.
Hang out with Roger Daltrey.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just be a part of that whole scene, man. That would be so much fun to be a part of that whole scene. I don't know why who I'm trying to sound like.
But, I don't either. I just thought there'd be some more Austin Powers-isms.
Yeah, baby. Like
there
that.
You go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to go there, but you sent me there.
So you would not, just to be clear, go to your own birth.
No, I would not. I have to say that if there's anywhere that I could go in time, I don't think I'm planning on going back to see my mom giving birth to me. First, I don't know. That just seems like kind of an awkward situation.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's probably going to trigger some sort of parallel universe
or butterfly effect.
For seeing myself. It'll probably like throw things all out of whack and we'll be on a weird tangent.
Well, that's the problem with time travelers. They're always mucking things up.
Yeah. It's like you can't do anything. And third, how about doing a little something to help out mankind, man? I mean, everybody's... The main answer it always is like, I'm going to go back and kill Hitler. Hey, I have to say, at least you're trying to do something to help people.
I'm not going back to kill Hitler. Not that, you know, that wouldn't be a worthwhile effort.
Yeah.
I don't want an errand.
Yeah.
And more than that, I'm pretty much a klutz, so I'm not sure that mission would work out so well.
You'll be fumbling that knife around all over the place.
I do love, though, that this guy feels the need to go back in time to mansplain childbirth to his mother.
Isn't that just like a dude? Seriously. And to pick like the moment that he's born is like the most important moment for him in history. Not that I have any better choices, but it's like I'm going to a time where I'm going to have fun.
Yeah. I don't want to be like put to work in some sort of medical environment.
No.
That sounds terrible.
No.
So what I love about Back to the Future is that kids who watch it now,
yeah,
think that DeLoreans were like a really cool car.
Oh, yeah.
And they were for like a minute.
Sure.
But by the time this movie came out, they were a punchline.
Yeah.
They were not cool or popular. Now, you didn't see them growing up, did you?
No, I didn't really. I grew up in a small town and nobody had one.
Nobody in rural Missouri was tooling around in a DeLorean.
Yeah, because I think to your point, it's like they were kind of a punchline. And it wasn't until years later that it was like, oh, it's kind of a cool car. And Back to the Future sort of made it kind of cool or whatever. But I don't know if anybody was throwing down a whole bunch of money to have one. They'd
now,
rather have something different.
Growing up in the Metro Detroit area, I saw them like not every day driving around on the road.
Right.
But I would see one, you know, maybe once a month we'd drive past one or see one in a parking lot somewhere.
Yeah.
And you know the whole story about DeLorean, right?
A little bit of it, but I'm sure you'll indulge me.
Of course I will. So John DeLorean. DeLorean was, of course, a GM executive.
A visionary.
He absolutely was a visionary. Like, he worked on the Firebird and the Trans Am and really a lot of, like, badass cool cars.
Yeah.
And eventually started his own automobile business.
Right.
As evidenced by Back to the Future.
Like, he probably isn't on the same level as, like, a Carroll Shelby.
No.
Like,
he's no Elon Musk.
No. But he was a big name.
He was a big stinking deal, absolutely.
Right.
So later on, as the business began to struggle, so his neighbor talks him into selling like 200 pounds of cocaine.
Hey.
Like something in, it was the 80s, you know?
And neighbors do that.
Right.
I mean, they typically
just being
just
neighborly.
Like,
talks him into selling 200 pounds of cocaine.
Hey, can I borrow your shears? And while you're at it, why don't you sell some coke?
Yeah. So we can make some quick cash, you know, just to save the business.
It doesn't need
right?
some quick cash.
So it all ended up being part of a DEA sting,
of course. Yep.
But DeLorean ended up getting off because it was entrapment.
Oh, yeah. True.
Unfortunately, the whole thing happened way too late to save the business.
Sure.
And thus the car becomes the punchline.
Yep.
And
the whole thing tanks
in the movie. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what the moral to that story is. I just wanted to dazzle you with some of my Detroit Motor City automobile knowledge.
He's sort of a rags to riches and not really rags story anymore, but it's just a cool story.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a cool car.
And speaking of cool stories,
yeah,
let's move on to our next headline.
Uh-huh.
This one comes from NBC-2.com.
Oh, that's local.
Yes, but the story is not local.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Antoinette Brown knew that Henry Bell was the one when she met him 14 years ago.
Aww.
And even though they never got married, they often referred to themselves as husband and wife.
Oh.
And in fact, not even coronavirus could tear them apart. Mm-hmm. Bell was admitted to the HCA Healthcare Orange Park Medical Center on September 13th of this year, where he was immediately placed on a ventilator because of COVID.
Wow.
After spending weeks in the ICU, the 63-year-old underwent a tracheostomy after being told it was either that or moving to hospice.
Oh, boy.
Bell remembers very little, thankfully, about his 8 weeks in the hospital, mm-hmm, thanks to some pretty heavy sedatives that they had him on. The one thing he does remember is that the moment he woke up and saw Antoinette by his side, all he wanted to do was marry her.
Aww.
So he proposed right then. And they did not waste any time getting hitched. Antoinette and Henry tied the knot in the most romantic place that they had access to, the hospital's parking lot. Surrounded by healthcare workers who had saved his life.
Oh, that's nice.
And then Henry was released from the hospital the next day.
Oh, well, that's nice. And very sweet. What a great story to hear in these tough times. After nearly going to hospice to being discharged 8 weeks later, I mean, it's good that he didn't waste any time putting the ring on Antoinette there.
Right?
Yeah. It's like hey. My time could be up at any moment. Let's handle this right now.
Yeah, what I love about it is it's one of the few weddings where the groom is the one wearing the gown.
Ooh, what a great idea. Yeah.
Also one of the few weddings where the gown is completely backless.
Oh, very nice. Very chic.
Yes, fortunately it's warm in Florida in November. Otherwise,
and it's all backless, which could be a problem.
You don't want a draft wearing your hospital gown in
there's
the parking
no coin
lot.
Slot on that dress. That's a full swipe.
Yeah, absolutely. But 8 weeks in the hospital.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
I'm sure those 8 weeks were the toughest of his life. So I'm really glad that he doesn't remember any of it.
Right? Yeah. Dilaudid is a wonderful thing when you're in the hospital.
Yes. Yeah.
But I was thinking about it, like 8 weeks. Okay, first of all, in 2020, 8 weeks feels like half of a lifetime.
Right.
I mean, it's been like, I feel like 6 years since the coronavirus thing
started. 6 years since March, right?
Yes.
No, it's true. And time just moves at a snail's pace in a hospital because you're just there. You're just in the bed the whole time.
Well, and think about this. So in the 8 weeks that he was in the hospital, first of all, when he got into the hospital, we were only up to the letter S in hurricane season.
Oh, wow.
Which means a lot around here, considering we got through
we went through a whole other alphabet after that.
When he went into the hospital, we still had Alex Trebek. We still had Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Uh-huh. We still had Eddie Van Halen. We still had Sean Connery, for God's sake.
All those wonderful people.
All of them passed when he was in the hospital. He missed half of the baseball season.
That's hard to believe.
He missed like pretty much all of the NBA second half.
Wow.
He missed everybody in the White House getting the Rona. He missed the election, which honestly, a lot of us probably
not probably the worst thing in the world.
Right. So 8 weeks is a big deal. He missed a lot.
Yeah, there's a whole lot that he missed, but at least he made a wonderful memory in the parking lot as soon as he got out. Probably because he missed so much time. It's like, I got to get to living.
Yeah.
Get busy living.
So we don't think, obviously, of a hospital parking lot as being a particularly romantic place.
No.
Though for them, obviously, it had some special meaning. What's the most romantic place you can think of to get married?
Well, I always feel like if it's a place that means a lot to the two people, that's probably the kind of place that's really going to be romantic. Mm-hmm. But if I have to like choose a place, I'm going to say a place that's got a beautiful backdrop. I don't know why, I just want something that just looks like really amazing.
Because
in
you
pictures.
Want it to look good in the pictures.
In the pictures, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
You're always thinking about the pictures, the visuals.
Well,
the things
and
that
especially
you want to remember.
In this day and age, right? I mean, if you don't have a good picture, pictures or it didn't happen.
Right.
And if you don't have a good picture, forget about it.
That's right.
I think if I could do it all over again, because there was some drama surrounding our wedding.
Sure.
And it was difficult and challenging and yeah. putting it all together ourselves and living so far away from everyone else.
Right.
I would just get married like on a cruise ship or something, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like avoid the drama, avoid the stress, have somebody else deal with it. And yeah. Yeah.
Well, and some people love big weddings. Some people want, you know, it's like, just let's get to the party. And I think that was always what ours
was. That
was
our
like,
philosophy,
just
definitely.
Get to the party. Yeah.
Where's the keg?
Yeah. Where's the next party that we're going to go to? Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to our very last story.
Yeah.
And have you noticed something weird about this episode?
No, nothing.
It hasn't felt like we've missed something.
Maybe there's been something missing. I'm
we
not
have
sure
not
what
had a single crime story.
No crime story,
which is like the bread and butter of this podcast, the hallmark of this podcast. The reason why we started it all is because of Florida's yes. propensity for dumb criminals.
It's literally like having bread with no butter. We need we definitely need the crime story.
So let's dance with the one that brung you, okay?
Let's do it.
Our last story comes to us from CBS12.com. Mm. Residents of the Vineyards, a neighborhood in the Naples area,
hey,
not
Naples.
Far from us, well, they awoke to a symphony of car alarms going off one oh. recent Thursday morning, and it was the second night in a row that it had happened. When Collier County Sheriff's deputies arrived, their canine officers tracked down 19-year-old Markinson Telusnord.
Ooh.
Telusnord? I don't know.
Easy for you to say.
Sorry, Markinson.
Yeah.
Near the crime scene with a bundle of cash as well as a bunch of credit cards and personal ID cards that were not his.
Uh-oh.
As deputies were cuffing him, another vehicle arrived on the scene. A Lyft driver who had come to pick up Markinson. Apparently, he had used the Lyft app to order his getaway car using his own phone and a stolen credit card.
Oh.
So Markinson got a Lyft to the county jail instead, where he was charged with burglary, grand theft, and petty theft.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that Lyft drivers don't sign up for is being a getaway driver. They're not interested in that at all.
I don't think it's a Lyft training school.
No. Hey, you Markinson, what do you do with all that cash in your hands? And I hope he got 5 stars just for showing up, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we have seen this so many times on this podcast. The criminal who just kind of neglects to think about the getaway plan.
Yeah, he just decides it's like, well, I've got everything else planned out. I'm sure I'm not missing anything.
Or did he plan it this way?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I was thinking maybe he did it this way so that his car wouldn't be showing up on any, like,
Security cameras
absolutely. Or anything like that.
A lot of gated communities in Naples, a lot of security cameras.
They'll just pin it on this Lyft driver guy because that's the only license plate you're going to see.
So we had a story a few weeks ago about someone who had had a friend drive them home from a crime scene. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the friend ended up turning them in.
Yep.
And you asked, well, why wouldn't you just Uber or Lyft home from the crime? This is why.
Markinson
this is your
must
answer.
Have been listening. Oh, boy.
I
feel like now I'm an accomplice.
You're an accessory to the crime.
Yeah. No, but I think it's ironic that the guy that's breaking into cars or whatever doesn't have one to drive to get out of there on his own.
Well, he steals stuff from cars. He doesn't steal cars.
Yeah.
He has not advanced
that far.
He doesn't
steal cars. I see.
Right. He hasn't gotten the promotion yet to the next level in his career.
I mean, I guess he truly didn't want anyone to ID him, but why drag this poor Lyft driver into the whole ordeal?
Well, here's my question. You're stealing all of this stuff from cars. Credit cards, IDs.
Yep.
Clearly nobody in this neighborhood is particularly careful about what they leave in their car overnight.
No.
You couldn't find a stolen phone and use the Lyft app on that phone?
Or just bring a burner phone with you.
Ooh, you know what?
Gotta have a burner phone. Come on, if you're gonna be a criminal, that's like criminal 101. Burner phones.
Maybe he was looking for a phone with the Lyft app, couldn't find one, just found somebody else's phone with no Lyft app, and the reception was too bad to download it.
Oh, that could be it.
I hate that.
The worst. No, I did have one thought, though. It's like, I think that there should be a taxi cab confession show for people that use Uber and Lyft. Because I think there are so many people that use rideshare services that aren't necessarily like the Venn diagram of people that use taxis and people that use Uber is not quite the same. So I'm thinking that they have a different frame of reference. It could make the stories a bit more saucy.
I think you would only want people with like kind of low rider ratings, though.
Yeah.
Like the 5-star people, they're probably not going to make a great taxi cab or Uber confession.
Well, and it's and maybe taxi cab confessions isn't the right idea, and just do like drunk Uber or drunk Lyft stories.
I'm sure there's a podcast specifically devoted to that.
Yeah.
And if you host that podcast, please let us know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of stories you want to hear, right?
I'm pretty sure I do not have a great rider rating.
Oh, come on.
Well, so I don't know if you remember, because we had had a beverage or two.
Uh-huh.
After the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When we went to not actually go to the Super Bowl, but yeah, watch at a bar with
we
all
were
of
in
your
the Lauderdale,
family members.
Yep.
We had had a few beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Your sister-in-law had bought a large bag of potato chips.
Yeah, which we need something to soak that stuff up with.
Pretty much demolished in the car on
of
the
course.
Way back with
yeah.
about half of the chips ending up on the floor.
Oh, right.
And
yes.
on the seat.
And the guy was a bit of a clean freak, understandably.
He was not happy with us.
No.
So I'm pretty sure my rating got tanked. I would
yeah.
check it, but I've already deleted
the app. I'm glad
it
wasn't on my app because mine is pristine right now, just pristine.
Oh, well.
And I don't want to ruin that. Yeah.
Do you remember that same weekend what happened to your brother in an Uber?
Didn't he have somebody like jump in the car with
him? Yes. So they get in the Uber or Lyft or whatever it was. Yeah. And this drunk woman just opens up the door, hops in and sits next to them. They're like, hey, lady, this isn't your Uber.
Yeah. And she just stayed in there. This is the culture of Uber and Lyft that I think is always so fascinating. How people will just get into some stranger's car, like just because of this expectation. It's like, well, I ordered one, so it must be my car.
I can't imagine anybody else would have ordered a car at the same time.
Why would that happen?
Downtown Fort Lauderdale with 10,000 other drunk people roaming around.
Yeah, 1 a.m. when everyone's trying to get home.
So the woman kept saying to the driver, you're going the wrong way. This isn't the way to my house. You're going the wrong way. And your brother was just like, because this isn't your Uber.
This is our Uber. We're the one that bought it. He's going to where we're going.
So they ended up dropping her off and she had to reorder another Uber, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
But you have a weird, well, we both have a weird Uber story of our own, right?
Yeah, like the very first one that we ever took
was in
San Juan, Puerto Rico. We were trying to take an Uber just to get to the airport.
The airport, the cruise
port. Oh, the cruise port. That's
it was
right.
like a mile from our hotel. We could have walked, but we had a crap ton of luggage.
It was like a mile, but there's cobblestone streets. We've got a ton of luggage there with us because we had just come on off a 5-day cruise. And it was just crazy how like busy it was.
It was very, very busy. And then our Uber shows up.
And he shows up and it's a good size car. We ordered like a big size car because we had all that luggage. And it's filled with people.
His whole family was in the car.
came with him on his Uber pickup. We honestly didn't think we had room for us.
We barely had enough room for our luggage and the two of us once you crammed us in with his entire family. Which, I'm not saying there were like 8 people in this vehicle.
No.
But there were more people than we certainly expected to be in our Uber.
Yeah, we basically hired a car that would seat like 4 or 5 people.
Because we had all the luggage. Yeah.
And there were like 3 extra people in there. So barely had enough space.
Do you think maybe it was his first Uber ride, too?
It could have been. It could have been. They were like, hey, let's see what this whole thing's about.
Do you think we all were busting our Uber cherries at the exact same time?
I could definitely see it happening. It would actually make for an even better story if that were the case. This is your first time. It's my first time. It's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. I'm glad we're only going a mile.
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely a weird Uber ride, but not as weird as a Lyft getaway ride.
No.
That's so, sure. Corey, what did we learn this week?
I learned that we shouldn't be playing God with nature, and that means save the snow for up north.
Oh, geez. Well, I learned that you can spend, I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars building a time machine.
Sure.
But that still isn't going to get you out of 2020 any faster.
No. I also learned that sometimes the best motivation to get marriage is a life-changing moment or when COVID comes calling.
which could be a life-changing moment.
Yeah, I think it definitely applies.
And I learned that the next time you need a wheelman, maybe instead of calling Lyft, call Uber. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Well, those were our freakiest Florida finds for the week. But as always, you can find plenty of other wacky news stories from across the Sunshine State on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
That's right. And we're also excited to announce that you can
you?
Help. Yes, you. You, the listener, can help us pick Florida's weirdest news stories of 2020, and there are a lot to choose from. Just visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/FLA Freak Show. Right now, you can vote for the freakiest headlines all the way through November.
Basically through, like, last week.
Yeah, right, because we're still in December, folks.
And while you're there, remember to follow us, like us, and share us. That's at FLA Freak Show. And by the way, if you see a Florida story that maybe we missed, share it with us.
Yeah. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And please consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you made it this far, you might as well. There's got to be a reason that you're still listening. Until next week, I'm Corey O'Donnell.
And I'm Kirsten O'Donnell. Until we meet again, remember to let your Florida freak flag fly.
Yeah. Bye.